You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
I'm sure a lot of us know people who have had heart bypass operations. Maybe you've had one yourself in recent years. There's a new thought-provoking study out about who gets a heart bypass operation and who does not, or angioplasty procedures. And the report is funded by the Toronto Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences. One of the lead authors, as a matter of fact, Dennis Koh, joined us on the line now to talk about this report, which is published today. Dr. Koh, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, no problem.
One of the first things that caught my eye was the fact that the report is saying that in some cases, certainly not all, but in some cases, people got heart bypass operations who really didn't need them. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, so I think what we did was to look at the practice pattern of what we termed revascularization. So actually, it's a combination of angioplasty as well as bypass surgery.
Okay, and is it kind of 50-50?
It's actually more, it depends on the groups, but actually more angioplasty than bypass surgery.
All right, okay.
And we also looked at people, this is a main cohort of people with what we call stable coronary artery disease patients. So these are patients who is walking around who are not hospitalized. And I think in those cases, most of the time, almost 99% of the time, in other studies that, you know, procedure to open up the arteries is appropriate. So these are, you know, you and I walking around, we might have coronary artery disease that we looked at. And what we did was to look at, you know, these guidelines on appropriateness. So, you know, in an expert panel in the United States had defined the situation into three categories. So, one category will be appropriate, one is uncertain, and one is inappropriate. And in terms of definition, the appropriate procedure would be defined as, well, the procedure is likely going to be more benefit than the harm of the procedure if we do that. So uncertain is somewhere in between, and inappropriate would be, well, the procedure is unlikely to be beneficial, and the potential harm of the procedure might outweigh the risk. So I think these are the operational definition that have been used in these guidelines. And basically, we looked at the cohort in Ontario that was a little bit older. It was done in 2006 and 2007, where we went out to abstract the information to look at, you know, what the proportion of this procedure being classified as appropriate, uncertain, and inappropriate. And two, in some way, we wanted to kind of validate whether these criteria are valid. So one would suspect that, well, if you're doing the procedure in the right patient, the outcomes of those patients would be better. Yeah. On the other hand, if you're doing it on the wrong patient, they might not benefit or they might have harm. So that's kind of a backdrop of this study.
But then the bottom line is that, as you say, let's go back to the original contention that some people are getting a heart bypass operation or some kind of angioplasty procedure, and they don't really need it.
That is correct.
Yes. Okay, but you seem to be saying, and what I've been able to read about the report, you seem to be saying those of us with so-called stable heart conditions, where there's no emergency situation, you're not necessarily getting any worse, not necessarily getting any better, being kept steady through medications, that they're the ones that in some cases don't need to have the operation.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. I think in some situations. So these criteria are based on four things. So one is how much chest pain you're having or how much symptoms you're having.
Yeah.
What medication are you on before the procedure? And three, what did the stress test look like? And what did the angiogram look like? So I think to give you an example, right now, you know, I think evidence changes over time. And in the past, you know, there's such a strong belief that if we open up the artery, we're going to save your life and things like that. But I think also the medication.
Yeah, it sounds like more hands-on, and for sure you're going to be better if that happens.
Right. I think that's kind of a conventional feeling. But I think, you know, with the advance on medical therapy, actually drug therapy is pretty good nowadays.
Yeah.
So I think there's still patients that have, like, totally no symptoms, they're fine, they're doing great, that, you know, physicians sometimes have such a strong feeling about it, they still perform angioplasty or bypass surgery. But I think in some cases, it's probably not necessary. That is just one extreme example that I that might identify with.
Well, does that make the converse true as well? Does that mean that if some people are getting the operation who don't need it, others who might need it are not getting it?
That's correct. So I think it's two sides of the coins. We also identify among the people that were appropriate and should get the therapy, only 69% of the time they were getting it. So about 30% of the patients, we identify them as having appropriate procedure, they actually didn't get it. And we also looked at the outcomes and showed that the outcomes was actually worse. And so we looked at, you know, people, the risk of dying or having a recurrent heart attack at three years, and shows that those patients, when they're appropriate and didn't get the therapy, they were worse off.
Well, who may, in Ontario, right here in Ontario, who makes the decision whether or not I get heart bypass surgery?
I think it's usually the combination of your physician, the patient and as well as your physician. In general, I would say, angioplasty is usually done by the cardiologist.
Right.
So I'm a cardiologist, just to kind of just let you
know. Right, gotcha.
And also, you know, the bypass decision is usually made by the bypass surgeon, so the cardiothoracic.
Well, then then help me with this. Are you saying that there aren't enough clear standards for a cardiologist or for surgeons to decide whether or not bypass surgery or an angioplasty procedure is warranted? Is that what we're saying?
I think things change a lot with time. So the evidence continue to change. And I think there are a lot of reasons why, you know, appropriate patient might not get therapy, and in the potential inappropriate one, it's getting. So one is the bias. So, you know, potentially, you know, physician may not be aware of the latest evidence.
Yeah.
I think patient and physician often has a bias, you know, a lot of patients. So I do this angioplasty myself, and, you know, the patient sometimes would say, well, you know, I've got this blockage. Doc, I'm really worried about it. I really want to have it fixed. I think there are potential patient factors as well. And I think the third thing
In other words, if I were to insist as your patient that I really wanted the angioplasty, that would factor into your decision, right?
I think that would factor in my decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
Should it?
It's hard to know. I think it really depends on the situation. So I think in when the development of this appropriateness guideline, it's really difficult to distill clinical practice into case scenarios and just rate them.
It's not that easy.
It's very complex. So I think you do have to take into account, you know, the patient, you know, the non-clinical factors into it. And it's hard to know for sure sometimes in that clinical situation whether something is absolutely wrong or not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gray zone into it. So I think it has to be made on a patient-to-patient level. But I think the overall message is that I think there is a chance of improvement that, you know, I was saying, wouldn't it be great that, you know, if you, you know, reduce the number of the ones that's inappropriate and just put it onto the appropriate one, now you're still doing the same number of procedure, but yet, you know, the patient outcome, you know, the person who needs it actually would be getting the right procedure.
I still don't understand why, for example, people who might need bypass surgery aren't getting it. What's happening there?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of reasons, and we have looked at that before. And one of the things that we have coined this term in the past is a risk, you know, it's a treatment risk paradox. So in general, as people get sicker and sicker, so as they get older, they might have a few more what we call comorbidities. They might have a little bit of lung issues. They might have, you know, a few more kind of other medical condition. I think there's always often a greater fear of doing procedures because they're riskier. On the other hand, you know, those are also patients that might benefit the most.
I see.
But I think there are kind of when we think about these procedures, there is. Thinking about risk aversion. I want to not do any harm for the patient, and that's why I don't want to do the procedure. So I think there are, and also as people get old, patient gets older, sometimes say, well, I might not want to have it. So I think that has been consistent. If you look at the medical literature, the surgical literature, that, you know, as people get a bit older and a little bit sicker, the chance of having sometimes even the beneficial therapy goes down.
Well, but we have this, we mere mortals out here, mm-hmm. we have this impression that in the past number of years, heart bypass surgery, which used to be considered holy mackerel, a huge surgical procedure. We have this notion, and been told by some doctors, well, it's really improved in terms of how we do it, and it isn't nearly the medical challenge that it once was.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with you. I think if you look at the practices of, you know, angioplasty, practice of bypass surgery, you know, we're pushing, you know, the demographics of these patients actually are getting older and older and getting sicker and sicker. Interestingly, the outcomes isn't worse. Like, you know, the, if you look at mortality over time, it looks about the same, meaning that, you know, things have improved dramatically. And, you know, we're putting, you know, I've got a few 90-year-old patients that have gone through like angioplasty and such like that. And a lot of times they do well. I'm not advocating that that should be done. But I think it has, like, the technology has improved that, you know, in the right setting that I think people do benefit from this procedure potentially.
All right. I'm talking to Dr. Dennis Koh, and he's the lead author of this interesting report about who gets bypass, heart bypass surgery, who gets angioplasty, and who gets medication to control a heart condition. Very interesting issues being raised here.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
We're talking to Dr. Dennis Koh. He's the lead author of a new study that is examining when you do need a heart bypass operation or angioplasty and when you do not. So, Dennis Koh, I guess the bottom line here is you're asking for, or you're suggesting at least, that better, systems need to be put into place so that doctors can more accurately determine who needs it and who does not need it.
Yeah, I think it it is helpful. You know, tools to improve practice are always needed. So I think that would be one of the potential solution for this. That again, nobody, you know, I think all of us as physicians wants to be perfect, but I think sometimes it is helpful to kind of step back a little bit and have some decision tools to help it. So, for example, in the United States, actually, right now, you know, I've heard, you know, procedure labs and things like that. They have like these criteria that's listed into the, on the wall, and kind of they can just take a look and say, well, is this where does this fall into? And they're actually kind of these you know, mobile phone applications that allows you to just put in these scores, or, you know, the clinical situation, and generates into a score. So I think sometimes that would be helpful as well. That's
well,
that
would be helpful, but the final decision would still come from the doctor and the patient,
correct,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Does money have anything to do with this?
I'm not sure. I don't really think so. I think in the United States, where the incentives to do procedures are a lot higher, they found very similar you know, proportion of the appropriate, inappropriate, and certain as we are. So I don't really think it's a huge incentive.
Well, you know what I'm thinking. A surgeon likes to operate, and the more surgical procedures a surgeon does, the more revenue comes to his practice.
Yeah, no, I think that's obviously one of the incentives. But I think in this Ontario setting that, you know, I think most of the cardiologists, most of the surgeons are quite busy, and I do not really think people really intentionally do the wrong thing that would be harmful to the patient.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
let's take a couple of calls here. We have a couple of questions. Here's Jerry calling from Toronto. Jerry, do you have a question for Dr. Koh?
Yes, I do. Is heart bypass surgery inevitable for some people, regardless of how much you exercise or eat properly or that kind of thing?
That's a great question.
Are some people predisposed to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the major cardiovascular risk factors are, you know, your high blood pressure, your diabetes, smoking is particularly bad for the heart, as well as high cholesterol, as well as genetics, and I think family history. It is very difficult to predict, and I would say, you know, I would kind of cite this example often to my patients. So, you know, some people who smoke all their life and never get cancer, and some people, you know, may be exposed to secondhand smoking or not even get, or not even have been exposed, would get lung cancer.
Yeah.
So like if I don't smoke, Doc, if I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't have diabetes, I lead a good health lifestyle, Could heart bypass surgery be necessary for me eventually?
I think it's the question is whether you...
If you live long enough, is that what you're thinking, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Hard to know. I think there are, as people get older, like, you know, there are really different things. I think the most common cause of death in this country would be cardiovascular disease, heart attack or stroke, or cancer. So I do not really think, you know, if you've got no heart disease... people do not get heart bypass surgery just because they get older.
Right. Okay. Jerry, thanks. Thanks very much for that. Is anybody ever too old for heart bypass surgery or angioplasty?
I think it really depends on the biological age rather than just the age itself. Like some people, like, you know, they're in the 80s and 90s, they're still vigorous. They are doing great. And it really just kind of depends on how that person is at that age. So it's not just the age, the number itself, but how they are at that
well
stage.
you're singing our song here on Zoomer Radio when you can say that age is just a number, right? Here's Tony calling from Don Mills. Tony, do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Kong.
Hello.
Hi, my friend is on dialysis, right?
Yeah.
And he has a heart condition. He's on medication.
Yep.
Now, is it okay for him to, because he wants to become vegetarian?
Mm.
Now, however, his cardiologist in Manila told him that it may trigger a heart attack because maybe the potassium level will go up and it cause cardiac arrest.
His cardiologist in Manila, is that where he's living now?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So he wants to know if it's okay because he's questioning this doctor's opinion.
Yeah, it is interesting.
He read Dr. Dean Ornish's book, and he said maybe that is not correct.
All right. Well, Tony, let's get a thought on that from Dr. Koh.
Yeah, it's interesting. Honestly, I've never heard that, you know, kind of eating it and becoming a vegetarian would cause a heart attack.
Quite the opposite, I would think, right?
Yeah. So I'm not really sure what is the context. I think the electrolytes tends to fluctuate during dialysis and things like that, and it might be more a nutritional issue that, you know, I think the doctors is worrying about rather than causing a heart attack. But you know that I've never heard of it.
Yeah, well, Tony, thanks for the thought. In any event, is it fair to say, Dr. Koh, that today, in 2012, the heart medications to help control some of the arterial problems people may have are much more effective than they were years ago?
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I think when you look back at maybe even 15 years ago, really aspirin is your biggest drug. I think beta blocker was starting now. There are about four or five drugs that has improved dramatically, I think, with the medical therapy over the past decade.
But I can just recall a number of high-profile people in the world who suddenly discovered chest pains one day and were whisked off to the hospital the next day for a quadruple bypass operation.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Bill Clinton, former U.S. President, and thinking in cases like that, maybe that wasn't really as necessary as we would have thought at the time.
I think that if it is kind of done under an emergency or if the clinical status has changed very rapidly, in general, the medication in that case is not as effective when, you know, the situation is stable, you have time for the medication to work. In the acute situation, I think the benefits of these procedures are much larger. So I think in the Bill Clinton case, I think everything was expedited, of course. But
well, sure. I mean, he's not an ordinary citizen.
Right,
I get that.
But I think I remember hearing that he was having a lot of symptoms and things like that. So I've no doubt that he probably needed it.
Yeah, because that would be considered certainly not a stable condition, but a condition that needed some immediate attention.
That's correct.
Here's Don calling from Burlington. Don, do you have a question?
Yes. I had triple bypass 14 years ago, and last year I had a mild heart attack, and they did an angiogram, found out that one of the arteries was plugged 100%, and that, now I had stents in about 2 years before that, not the same artery, but anyway, now they're saying we don't want to operate at this point because if we operate, we gain about maybe 25 or 30% of what's damaged.
Yeah.
So they're waiting for, I guess, another occurrence. And then if it's down to, say, 50%, then that's when they would go in and do another bypass or whatever. Now, I'm kind of wondering, like, I guess so I'm just walking around waiting for a heart attack or whatever. Yeah. I don't have any pain or anything.
You mean the blockage is 25%? Is that what you said?
Well, he says it's probably 25% we gain through the operation.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you get another blocked artery, he said then you're probably up to 50%.
Yeah.
So then it's worth doing the operation.
Yeah. I think the repeat bypass situation is very different from a typical person. The reason is that, you know, the surgeons, you know, when you have the second operation, the surgery is much more difficult.
Right.
And also that, you know, the conduit, you know, the graft that they're trying to get, it's not as good as, and also people have kind of gotten older after the first bypass surgery. So the second bypass surgery, if that is being considered, it's a very difficult situation, and often actually people get angioplasty instead of repeat bypass surgery unless it's absolutely necessary.
Now he said that there was another radical procedure that's out where they actually get into the artery that is plugged and they push it or something or. Yeah.
Well, is that a form of angioplasty? Is that what we're talking about?
It might be a form of angioplasty to open up chronically blocked artery.
Right.
I think that is something to consider. But I would say that, you know, for people, if their heart function is normal and you're not having symptoms, you know, this procedure doesn't really prevent heart attack.
I'm 75 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, he says you probably got one operation left in you, because I've got a defibrillator in there now and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be even more
right.
difficult. Yeah. And maybe at that point, he says you might want to go the other way and just let it go.
Well, Don, thanks for your call and outlining your situation. You stick close to your doctor now, okay?
I will.
All right. Okay.
Thank you
very much. What kind of reaction do you expect from this report, Dr. Koh?
It's hard to know. I think obviously in the United States, you know, similar report has come out, and there has been a bit uncertainty because, you know, all these criteria are not perfect. But I do think, you know, I hope to create an environment that, you know, people can, you know, improve, and not, it shouldn't be kind of a blame game that, you know, I'm blaming that the criteria is not good and study may not be valid. But I think there are always opportunity to improve patient care and outcomes. I think that's what we're here for.
Well, and you got to remember that being a doctor involves science and art, does it not?
That's correct, yes.
Dr. Koh, thank you very much for talking to us about this report today.
Yeah, no problem. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, thanks very much. Dennis Koh is the lead author in this report, talking about who should and who should not get bypass surgery, angioplasty procedures as well.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.